This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora and welcome to MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns and I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. Today I am talking with Ricky from Fire and Emergency New Zealand. So good morning, Ricky. Thanks for joining us.
Morena, Katie. Thank you.
So, as I said, you work for Fire and Emergency New Zealand, or FENZ. How did you kind of get into that role originally, and what kind of has that role expanded into now?
First of all, thank you very much for inviting me to come in and speak this morning. This is really cool. So thank you very much. I became an operational career firefighter with Fire and Emergency New Zealand way back in 2017. And for 7.5 years, I was a firefighter or a career firefighter based out of Lookout Point Fire Station, just up on top of the hill on Mornington Road there, where I was firefighting and we're on a pump rescue tender. So that's called, it's a truck that does specialist rescue stuff. So it's focused on car accidents, line rescue, all sorts of things. So I did that for 7.5 years. I have a background in physical education. I did a degree here at Otago University. Love being active and really enjoy being a part of the community and having impact on people. So I did that for 7.5 years. And unfortunately, in February last year, I was diagnosed with MS, hence why I'm here today talking with you, Katie. So that unfortunately meant that I wasn't able to continue on as a career firefighter. However, Fire and Emergency New Zealand FENZ were very good, and they, I guess, enabled me to move sideways in the organisation into a role, a non-operational role, they call it, which now I am. My official title is Advisor to Community Readiness and Recovery. So I do lots of things, such as we're doing today. I go and talk to schools, go and talk to organisations and communities about how can we be ready for the event of fire and emergency and what we can do to help our communities. This afternoon, as an example, I've got a presentation at 1 o'clock to a former refugee group from whānau who have relocated to Aotearoa, New Zealand from across the globe, and I'm just going to talk to them about what it means to be fire safe here in little old Dunedin. So, yeah.
Wow, it sounds like a very interesting and quite varied role.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's all sorts of... All sorts of people from all walks of life that I get to meet. I was up in Waimaru yesterday and talking to a bunch of 5, 6, and 7-year-olds, which was always fun, very much so. There's a vast range. So I guess that's this role has enabled me to stay connected with FENZ. There's 110-ish, give or take, career firefighters here in Dunedin, and a lot of them are my good friends. This enables me to stay connected with them to a certain point. So, it's been really good. It's great.
And quite a pivot, but great that they've been supportive and that you can stay within that, I guess, realm.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said earlier, I've always had a strong interest in helping people and wanting to be involved in people. I had a previous role before FENZ where I worked for Te Wānanga Aotearoa within education. So I'm sort of got a skill set within that space of talking with people, dealing with people, educating people. Definitely a pivot from being an operational firefighter. One, I'm very blessed and lucky to have, because I know people who have had these diagnoses, such as mine, haven't been as lucky. And it's enabled me to continue on supporting my young whānau. We've got a 5- and a 7-year-old, my wife and I. And, yeah, which is probably the main stressor for us last year of what are we going to do? And I've taken on this role as of officially November last year. So, yeah, 6-7 months in the job, and it's going really good.
Yeah, and it's nice. I think it's nice when, like, you kind of that amount of time in, you've kind of found your feet and found your own way in the role and that kind of stuff. Because it is quite a change from obviously the job you were doing before. So,
It is, and I think they I'm talking about Fens, the community, people I deal with, that I do come from that operational experience, so I understand what that, should we say, boots on the ground looks like when you're out there dealing with people in their worst moments in an emergency on the daily, and I've sort of lived that and worked in it, so I understand that sort of things, and that's given me a bit of drive of, well, how do we actually prevent this stuff, or how can we make it better, or how can we ready our communities to ensure that we are most prepared as much as possible leading up to emergencies and fires and stuff.
So, yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I bet it's exciting for the kids to meet like a – I know when my kids, particularly when they were little, especially my wee boy, would have been like, a real-life firefighter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so exciting.
It's kind of funny that you put on this blue uniform and, yeah, you get looked upon as your – a superhero, you're bulletproof or something like that, which is a really strange feeling because it is really just a uniform, but it does mean a lot to all sorts of people, particularly to kids. And it is just a uniform, but it's something that you have to respect, and you respect the people who have worn it before you, and you respect the people who currently wear it and those who will wear it in the future. So yeah, it is a funny thing, and kids absolutely love it, and adults as well. but certainly with that, you can see that you've got power and influence over people, and how you can make change and make situations better or more supportive.
Yeah,
supported for people.
Yeah. And I think that probably is really the key in having, like, firefighters do quite often have like that community respect and that community, like, yeah, absolutely, you're right.
Yep.
And if you can use that to get people, like, to listen to you and educate them, then that's like, there's real power in that.
And again, it's just clothes, it's just a uniform. But, you know, you can, like yesterday I walked into the classroom and all the kids are like, stare at you straight away. And they're all quiet and they're all very well behaved. And that is the power of the uniform and, I guess, the history of being a firefighter and the respect that comes with that. So,
yeah
you've got to, you've certainly got to use that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to take a wee air break and then we're going to come back and talk more about how to be safe in an emergency situation.
MS Otago aims to empower people with multiple sclerosis and their support networks by providing them with information and skills to participate actively in the community in ways that are meaningful to them. You can find us at Dunedin Community House and online at msotago.org.nz, or you can give us a call on 027 889 9035. MS Otago, working for the people of Otago.
If you're just joining us, this is MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. Today I'm talking with Ricky from Fens, who before the break was just talking a little bit about his role and that he was a career firefighter until he was diagnosed with MS last year and is now pivoted into a community role. So what are some of the best ways that people can be safe in preparation, I guess? Most of the safety stuff for fire safety is all about preparation for a potential fire, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think just talking to some of the older members of the brigades that I've been a part of, they've seen the incidence of house fires decrease dramatically over the last sort of 30 or 40 years. And that's due to a number of things. That's due to education, big part of what I do, the way buildings are built, and thing those little wee plastic things that we screw on onto the ceiling called smoke alarms. So I've bought in a wee book today that's got a bit of a statement in it, which I thought was quite effective. And it says, you have less than 3 minutes from the sound of the smoke alarm to when your life is seriously threatened by fire or smoke. While you may think that you know your house in a fire, you'll probably be scared, disorientated. Toxic smoke makes it hard to breathe and see clearly. Having working smoke alarms will give you an early warning of fire, and an escape plan will make sure you get out. So, yeah, key ones from that and the messages that we are pushing big time at the moment is smoke alarms. Make sure you've got a smoke alarm, preferably in your bedroom. However, I think the legislation says that if you are in a landlord or a rented house, that the minimum compliance is that the alarms need to be 3 metres from each bedroom. So hopefully the landlords are complying with that. Make sure they're working, so we can test them monthly. So generally there's a big button or a wee button on the front of them. So just put a broom up. So yeah, make sure they're working. We don't necessarily have the change of batteries issues anymore, because they've got 10-year life, but 10-year inbuilt batteries. So, yeah, making sure they're within date, within that 10 years, and making sure they're photoelectric smoke alarms, which is what Fire Emergency New Zealand recommends. And making sure you've got, and I think this one's really important as well, and something I always talk about, make sure that you've got a bit of an escape plan. So if it is 2, 3, 4 in the morning and you've got a couple of kids and your husband limps a wee bit, like me, just have a bit of a plan. What would you actually do at 2 in the morning? And the smoke alarm goes off and you can smell smoke and then the windows start breaking. What would you guys actually do? So ideally, you've got two ways out of your bedroom or a room. So that could be a window and the door. If you've got young kids, talk through them with a bit of a plan of what you would do. Don't worry about grabbing your most important toy, which is what we were telling the kids yesterday. Just get out fast and stay out, okay? And then probably another important thing to remember is a safe meeting place. So somewhere where guys can go and meet in an emergency and or fire. So we usually say that's the letterbox or somewhere away from the house or somewhere that's safe. Because when we turn up in the Big Greg truck, and the first thing the guy or girl who turns up with a red helmet on, that's the officer, is going to say, is everyone out of the house? They won't say, hello, good evening, how are you? They'll say, is everyone out of the house? And hopefully they are. And you've met them all at your safe meeting place.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, smoke alarms, big main one, because it does seem to be that, like, if there's going to be a fire, it's going to be 2 in the morning, you know, you know.
And I think there might have been one maybe on Friday night, I might have the day wrong.
Yes, there was one over the weekend.
And thankfully that whānau got out. But, yeah, that was 2 or 3 in the morning as well.
Yeah.
And was absolutely devastating and they lost everything. So,
yeah,
if you've seen the videos online, there's no way that you're able to escape that without working smoke alarms.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so smoke alarms. And did you say the legal requirement is 3 metres from the bedroom?
Yep, so if you're in a rented house, that's what the landlord has to do, is 3 metres, 3 metres from each bedroom.
And what would be, there's quite often a difference between what the law says and what organisations such as FENS would recommend.
Yep.
I guess, like, perfect world,
yep.
what would FENS yep. recommend?
So FENS recommends one in each living area, so that might be a lounge or a dining room.
Mm-hmm.
One or two or three, depending on the size of your hallway, and then one in each bedroom, and that's probably the most important one to me anyway, is mm-hmm. one in your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people say, why would you want one in your bedroom? But at that 2, 3, 4 in the morning, when you're asleep, your nose doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay? So you can't smell smoke. So you won't wake up. So that's designed to wake you up, and this is exactly what I was talking to yesterday with these kids, is that it's important to get those alarms in your bedroom. The more, the better.
Mm-hmm.
However, I understand that that can be financially a challenge for some people. So there's something really good that we offer from FENS is what's called a home fire safety visit, where you can call your local fire station. There's 6 in Dunedin, ranging from Mosgiel to Lookout Point to Dunedin City to Willowbank to St Kilda to Rosland. Give them a call and ask them for a free home fire safety visit, and they'll swing by your house at your convenience any time, day or night, after work, weekends, and have a look at your house, give you recommendations of what you might need, and install one times free, a repeat free, smoke alarm in your house as well.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
And I know, and obviously, like you say, it all comes down to cost, but I know you can get pretty fancy with alarms and things now. Like, I know people that have thermal alarms in yep. their kitchen or their yep. garage, or they have interconnected yep. alarms yep. so that if the garage is on the other side of the house yep. and it goes off, it alerts everyone yep. in the house. But yep. as you say, that's all. They do get costly pretty quick.
They do. I have those interconnected ones at home, and I think they're around $90 each.
Yeah.
So they are expensive. However, it's the price you pay for some security and knowing that, because my wife and I, our bedroom is down one end of our house and the kids, young kids, sleep down the other end of the house. And my son, who loves his bed, would not get out of bed. So we would, if his alarm went off. So it's good that we got peace of mind that our alarm will go off and we can get everyone out.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is thermal or heat alarms, so they detect heat, not smoke. So they're ideal to be put into kitchens where there's, say, someone's might have burnt the toast, or there might be some cooking residue that might set off smoke alarms, but they're heat alarms, so they're ideal to go in and around or near your oven or your cooktop. You can put them in the garage too, so when you start the car up, the smoke from your exhaust doesn't set it off. And your bathroom as well. Some people put them in their bathroom. But, they're around the same price, I think.
Okay, great. Awesome. Yeah. And then, of course, you talked about evacuation plan.
Yep.
And, of course, some people might have quite a straightforward evacuation plan. But if you are a person that lives with a disability, or someone that lives with another person with a disability,
yep.
then that can,
yeah.
I guess, create some totally. Barriers yep. to yep. evacuation.
Yeah, totally understand that. And again, it just goes back to having a plan. If you've got mobility aids, so for example, a walker or a wheelchair, make sure they're between, I don't know, the bed and the door to get out. If you have deadbolted or locked a door, make sure the key stays in it for easy access to get out.
Mm.
I think it just comes down to having a conversation. Those home fire safety visits are really important. Talk to the crew that comes around and talk to them about your disability, and they will be able to input that data into our system, which will then, on turnout, what we call turnout, the crews will be notified that there might be someone who has got some mobility issues present at that particular house, And so they know how to prepare and what to do as soon as they arrive to help that person. So, I think it's just awareness and talking about it and having a bit of a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's like where some of the kind of old school, like knowing your neighbours and that kind of stuff really comes into it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because, you know, if your neighbour knows that you are a full-time electric wheelchair user that needs to be hoisted in and out of bed and they see your house on fire, they can let the, like when they make the call, they can let the team know
that. Absolutely. And that's something I didn't mention actually, is to talk to your neighbours about your plan and your whānau as well.
Yeah.
Make everybody around you aware of it. That's a very good point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, safe meeting place.
Yes, usually safe meeting place, which we drum into the kids as well. And that's through our Firewise program to 5, 6, 7-year-olds. And it's a fantastic program that's run for a very long time and we have fantastic results with it.
Yes.
And the kids, like I get my 7-year-old daughter telling me things that is just fantastic.
Both my kids went through it, I remember. Yeah. And they still remember it. They still. I think my daughter still has like the wee stickers in her room.
And that is the highlight again of having a firefighter visit, right? So they'll send a truck to follow up afterwards and get them to squirt some water and stuff like that. So that's that community engagement and community spirit. And I guess that's where respect for Fens and the uniform comes from is all that sort of stuff and how much we enjoy interacting with the public and with kids as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's why we're, a very well-respected organisation, I guess.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. We are unfortunately out of time. If people want to learn more about fire safety, how to get themselves or their whānau fire safe, is there a specific website they should go to?
Yes, so it's a very good question. I think it's just fire.org.nz. You can jump on there. You can go to Google and just type in home fire safety visit, and then through there there's a wee portal where you can sign up. Katie has my number as well, so we can do it through there as well. Or call, as we said before, call your local station and they'll be more than willing to help to do that home fire safety visit, which is a big thing for us.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, that's such an awesome community thing that you guys can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a big part of what we do. And they don't mind coming and see you guys Monday through to Sunday, all day, every day. Yeah.
Always available.
Yeah, always available. Doesn't matter what day or time it is.
Oh, thank you so much, Ricky, for coming in and chatting with me today. It's been really awesome to talk with you a little bit more about fire safety and your role and some of the trajectory of where your life with MS has taken you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to MS Momentum, brought to you on the third Wednesday of the month by me, Katie Burns, Community Connector for MS Otago. You can listen again to this episode and find other podcasts from this series at oar.org.nz and on your favourite podcast platforms. To contact MS Otago, you can email info@msotago.org.nz or call us on 027 889 9035. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.